Welcome to Business Innovators Radio, featuring industry influencers and trendsetters sharing proven strategies to help you build a better life right now.
Welcome back to another episode of Business Innovators Radio. My name is Marco Salinas, your host, and I've got a really special guest here joining us today. This is an old friend of mine, an old buddy, someone that I have had the pleasure of getting to know better here in recent years, and someone who has found himself with a tremendous opportunity in his hands with this business that he's running today. Our guest's name is Mr. Ken Jarman. Ken is the chief operating officer of a fintech company based here in San Antonio and in Austin called TurboPass USA. Ken, thank you for joining us today and welcome to Business Innovators Radio.
Thank you, brother. I'm happy to be here and I feel like I'm in good hands that beautiful mane you have there.
You got it, man.
Anytime
you want to throw any compliments at me throughout this conversation, they're very welcomed, okay? And they will be highlighted. All right, Ken. So I've got some questions to ask you today. I want to know a little bit more about you. I want to know a little bit about your background. I personally do know a little bit of your story, and I happen to find it to be very interesting. And I have personally have had the privilege of seeing you myself with my own eyes with a very, very, in my opinion, a very drastic transformation from, you know, the early years when I first met you to where you are today. And there's no other way to say it. It's really impressive what you and your brother have built and what you guys have put together here. And the cool thing is, I think, you know, it's for the taking, man. I mean, y'all are just barely getting started with this thing. So there's a huge opportunity here with TurboPass, right? And I want to know a little bit more about you, Ken Jarman, your journey, and how you got to where you are today. And those are the questions that I'm going to be asking you. So let's go ahead and buckle up, and let's start talking about some of these things. The first question that I've got for you, looking back, Ken, I want to know a little bit about your youth and your childhood and your experience in your family life. What were the signs or clues that maybe you might have had this entrepreneurial gene, or maybe, you know, startup gene in your DNA? Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I don't know if it's DNA, but yeah, it's definitely there's definitely some modeling going on with my dad, and you know, my mom was moved to the United States from Cuba in 1960 as a teenager, so got a little bit of the perspective of you know, so an immigrant coming into the country and trying to work hard and make, you know, and being able to own something. All that stuff is part of the roots of, you know, why certainly me and my brother like the idea of being entrepreneurs and creating things that are ours and building on those. My dad was definitely an entrepreneur and a hustler, and we got exposed to a lot of his excitement for, you know, new things and, you know, selling and just business. It was part of family, part of everyday life, was thinking about those things and being successful in business for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. So do you remember a time though, maybe when you were hanging out with your dad, or maybe you were you and your brother were doing something where you guys felt like, you know, maybe there was some sort of an event that stands out in your mind that said, you know what, that's kind of the direction that I want to go? Or was it more of just kind of like a slow process, and just, you know, you didn't really even think about it. It just kind of happened organically on its own.
Yeah, I think it's more like that. Like it's almost like just an osmosis, organic thing, you know, just seeing it and just, you know, yeah, just basically being in that environment and liking it, you know, liking what we saw and knowing nothing else, you know. My dad was a finance manager early on in at Gulf Freeway Toyota in Houston, which is a very large Toyota store. We were just kids hearing stories about, you know, about signing contracts and selling cars and financing cars, and hung out at the dealership sometimes and just grew up in that environment. We didn't know anything else for a long time. So,
yeah,
I'm sure glad now that that happened, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Grew up that way.
So what about this? Let's go a little bit deeper. What kind of a person were you before you became an entrepreneur, especially, you know, I'm not talking about before TurboPass. I want to say before you ever started, you know, doing your own thing, because you've had a few different business ventures throughout your sure. adult life, right? But what about before that? What about, you know, like what kind of a student were you? Were you always a really good, you know, get good grades, follow the rules kind of guy? Or were you a little bit more rebellious? And then like, what about jobs? Did you ever just have like a 9-to-5 job, or were you always self-employed in some capacity? Can you tell us a little bit about that side of who you are?
Yeah. I mean, I did go straight into the workforce. I started working for my dad right out of high school. Even in high school, I was kind of working for my dad as a, you know, at his auto finance company in Miami. And, so right out of high school, I was doing that. But yeah, it's basically auto related after the experience with my dad's business, and that business kind of not, you know, didn't last till now. So it, you know, kind of, you know, stopped in, you know, way back when I was a kid, when I was 21 or something. I had to go look for a job. What I knew was auto. So started working for auto finance company, moved to Austin. And so it was a, I wouldn't say it was a corporate job, because back then it was branches, you know, but, you know, running or helping to run a finance company branch in Austin, Texas. And yeah, I was definitely in the corporate world. I was in the loan servicing side of things. So lots of collection activity, paperwork, documenting things. And then I went to the retail side of things. So I kind of did it. I don't know if that's unique or not, but I worked for the auto finance companies, and I went to the retail and started doing the, you know, the selling of the cars and the financing of the cars at the dealership, working late hours. I did that for a very long time. You know, at large automotive, you know, new car stores in Austin there. So there was 12-hour days and, you know, those kinds of things, weekends, sacrificing time for money,
yeah,
family time for money. You know, not just really at that time, even 20s and 30s, not knowing anything else, you know, not considering much else, and being happy for sure, and being able to, you know, provide for the family. And I'm a soccer crazy person, so I got to play soccer on the weekends and yeah, work hard during the week. And that's kind of what I was busy doing for a couple of decades, I think.
Okay, now let's go back a couple of decades and tell me the kind of student that you were when you were in middle school and in high school. You know, were you kind of teacher's pet guy, or were you kind of more didn't fit so well in the classroom? You know, I'm curious to know a little bit more about you in that environment.
Yeah, I think I was, you know, I was definitely like I wasn't a wild child, or I was probably a mild mannered kid, but I was, you know, very interested in some things and very uninterested in other things. So I remember one time in high school, I got 3 F's and 3 A's. My soccer coach looked at the report card and looked at me and was like, what is this? Well, you can tell what I like and what I don't like, because if I don't like something, I'm just not going to participate.
Yeah.
And if I do like something,
then you're all the way in.
I'm just going to dive into it.
Yeah. One extreme or the other, right?
Yeah.
That's hilarious. Yeah, and I think that that right there is one of the telltale signs of a future entrepreneur. A lot of entrepreneurs do actually get, you know, it's kind of known, right? Like, we're kind of C students a lot of times, and then we end up hiring the A students, right, to work for us. But right. I think that's another variation of that, right, is you're either doing really, really well or really, really poorly. And, you know, it just depends on – it's got to be something that really interests us and piques our attention. Otherwise – we're not going to put any effort into it. You know, it's just the way it goes. And as an adult, as a business owner, we get to outsource those roles to someone else. So that's the beauty of what we do now.
That's really cool. One thing I've learned is to kind of give those tasks away that I'm not great at.
Exactly.
Be happy to do it.
Do what you do best. Delegate the rest. So, all right, now let's go back again to you. You were in a situation where you were grinding. I think we all know that the auto world is it can be grueling, man. It can be very, very grueling and time consuming. You know, you have to live. Some people, you know, it's like you have to live at the dealership. You spend a lot of time there if you want to be able to be successful. That's just the nature of the beast in that world.
Yeah.
So at what point, Ken, did you decide, you know what, maybe either I need to do something else, you know, I'm getting kind of tired of this, you know, and maybe I need to consider doing something on my own, you know, or at the very least, maybe I can stay in this world that I'm in here, the auto world, but maybe I can at least, you know, do it for myself and actually own the thing. How did that go down? Can you tell me a little bit about that kind of that crossover from employee to more of I'm going to be the actual owner, entrepreneur, startup, COO type of role?
Yeah, it was actually my best friend from high school in Miami, who lives here in San Antonio now. I think he put that bug in me. I was working for a dealership, and he said, why don't we open up our own dealership? You know, one day he came to visit me in Austin, and we were hanging out, and he said, let's do it. So it probably took us a year to plan and do those types of things. But yeah, we did. That was the thing that got me started. And I guess, you know, gave me the courage at least to put, you know, a shingle up that had my name on it, so to speak. Didn't have my, you know, wasn't named Jarman.
It wasn't Jarman Enterprises yet.
No, not yet. But, but yeah, he definitely gave me courage and confidence to kind of, you know, just put myself out there.
Yeah.
The first time. And then once I got the taste of that, you know, 10 years of doing that, I don't think I was going to go back, you know, just wasn't something that I would, you know, consider even.
You were hooked.
Yeah, I was hooked.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. You got a taste of the freedom and, you know, of the control of being running your own thing and not having to be told what to do and when to do it. And you might have probably been still putting the same amount of work in, right? Same amount of time, effort, maybe even more, but at least you knew you were doing it for your own thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Is that right? Yeah. I mean, I have actually spent the night. I was thinking about spending the night we did this big software conversion, and I spent the night at the dealership when we had our own dealership. But then I thought, wait a minute, I did spend the night at another dealership one time when we had hands on a hard body. Have you ever heard that?
No, I have not.
You know about the hands on a hard body?
No, what is that?
It's when they give away a vehicle, you know, they have a sale event, and you know, there's a big production, radios there, and they do some advertising blasts, and people actually put their hands on a truck, and whoever, you know, can stay the longest on the truck with their hands on it gets the truck in the end.
No joke.
This is like a week of 24 hour shifts, you know.
Wow.
Where you had the guys spend the night at the dealership a few nights.
That's wild. That's wild.
Those are fun.
I bet. I bet it is.
And they're memorable for your lifetime.
I would imagine so. So you're in your 30s already at this point. You've obviously got a family. You've got kids at this time that you decide that you and your best friend are going to make that transition over. What was the reaction? What kind of a reaction did you get? Now, your dad was entrepreneurial. So I want to know, was your dad supportive? And then I want to know, how did your wife feel about the thing? You know, what kind of response did you get from family and then also maybe friends?
Yeah, I mean, thank God everybody was supportive. I mean, my most important person, my wife was supportive and willing to, you know, we actually were moving back to her hometown in San Antonio. So that was a positive.
That was a plus.
Yeah. Like that. So yeah, I kind of, was able to convince her to get on board for sure. And then, I think probably my family was a little nervous. My dad and my brother, at the time was probably nervous for us. And the kids had no say.
They were too young. Of course.
But sure, it is a little scary.
Yeah.
You got young kids.
Absolutely. Yeah. Did anybody just flat out think you were nuts?
Probably the people at the dealership when I left might have thought, this guy's crazy. He's not gonna make it. I'm sure that's what some of those guys were thinking. And
sure,
you know, who, I mean, we've hung in this far.
That's right. And it's so easy to be a naysayer, you know. It's so easy just to say, nah, that'll never work, when you're still over there in your little 9-to-5, you know, in your comfortable place. That's the easiest thing you can do. But it takes a lot of courage to step out and do your own thing. Win or lose, succeed or quote unquote fail, you still have to respect the fact that you went out and you ventured on your own to do that. That takes a lot. It really takes a lot, and you learn a lot. And so that kind of leads me to my next question, because I always love to touch on that topic of failure. Typically, anytime you're in business for yourself, there's going to be some of those, right? There's gonna be some of those business failures and learning experiences and things like that. Did you experience that in your life? And did any of those failures, maybe now you're looking back all these years later, maybe you saw a connection, you know, on how those failures helped to contribute to the success that you're having today? Can you touch on that at all?
Yeah, I mean, for sure. I like the fact that we didn't prepare for these questions, and then I also don't like the fact that we didn't prepare for these questions. There's definitely, you learn from all your failures. I mean, I certainly didn't, you know, the dealership that I opened with my best friend is still up and running, but, you know, it was hard on, you know, our personal relationship. So I don't know if I could call that. I definitely learned some things about business partners and dealing with friendships. And, I prioritize that now a whole lot more than I might have back then.
Sure.
The friendship is more important to me and the family stuff.
Of course.
But I forgot your question. The failure. What did I learn from failures? I mean, I had some credit consulting business that I did for a little bit. And, you know, that failure, definitely taught me to get, taught me to have a better plan, a better, you know, better business plan. I was really interested in the subject matter and not as interested in the business side of that field. And I definitely learned that you you know, both are super important and you got to prioritize both.
For sure. And absolutely.
And I try to do a lot of stuff on my own, like you were talking in that business, and, you know, definitely learned that there needs to be some delegation going on because I get 3 A's and 3 F's, you know?
Yeah, sure.
I got to give the F stuff to someone else to do.
Yeah, absolutely. No question about it. That's good info, man. And I really appreciate you, being transparent about that stuff, because these are uncomfortable memories sometimes. And it's not always our highest points in life. But again, there's no denying the fact that as entrepreneurs, a big part of the recipe for us is just, there's going to be some of those failures, but we can learn so much from it. And then you get to apply that to the next venture and the next opportunity. And, yeah, you know, I think you've had several businesses over the years. And so I can actually see it myself, again, hanging out with you more lately. You know, I can see that the role that you're in, you bring a lot to the table. You're able to cover a wide range. That has to do with everything that you learn. So,
yeah, you froze there for a second, but I think I didn't catch a little bit of it.
Okay, yeah, no, I noticed that as well. I think I saw my lights were flashing up above here. But I was just mentioning that. I think that just in case we didn't get that covered on the it didn't record it. I was just mentioning that, you know, and seeing you and here. Getting to know you recently, I see you in your role as chief operating officer of TurboPass. And, you know, I can see that you're able to cover a wide range of different things, you know, interacting with your team, motivating them, leadership things, and then, you know, all the other stuff that you have to facilitate. You've got a lot on your plate, but I don't think you'd be able to do all that if it wasn't for all that you learned running these other businesses, whether it was good or bad stuff. You're learning from all of it, right? And it really, I think, has made you to the guy, the leader, the person that you are today. There's no doubt. There's absolutely no doubt about that. So tell me a little bit about Ken Jarman today, as well as where you are now. Again, I mentioned you're chief operating officer of TurboPass. Tell me a little bit about TurboPass. Describe your current business. Who are you helping, and what problem are you solving with that?
Sure. Yeah, we're helping I think we're helping a lot of car dealers across the country, hopefully speed up, get home earlier to their families, and by speeding up maybe some of the paperwork that they have to do and some of the phone calls that they might have to make to verify information. And hopefully we're making some consumers' lives easier. But yeah, the business right now is, I think, in a really good spot. We've, you know, recently added some really powerful and talented team members. And we're hoping to really have a record year in growth, with the new, you know, with the additions of the team, with, the ideas that we have and that we've had, you know. I think we now finally have the capacity and the talent to really execute on a lot of things we've been maybe holding off on a little bit.
Sure. That's great. That's really exciting, man. And I think TurboPass is a really cool company. I think you guys are unique in what you're doing, and you have a very specialized service and a specialized offering. And what I'm impressed with myself and what I've seen with TurboPass is that you guys have something that is, you basically have if I'm not mistaken, you have a trademark, right, on certain aspects of the reports that you provide, right? So there's some real differentiality in what you're doing. Is that right?
Sure. We have a business, a business process patent that we have, that we were issued, which was a very proud moment. to get a patent from the U.S. Patent Office. We got a trademark on, you know, we like the, obviously the name and what it represents.
Yeah.
And then we have more in store. Hopefully there's more of those things to come. But, I mean, it is a super exciting time. I think there's, tons of opportunity. And we haven't really, hopefully haven't scratched the surface.
Sure.
On what's possible.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm going to go a little bit of a different direction now, Ken. And I want to know just a little bit about what you like to do when you're not working. You, obviously a huge portion of your life is devoted to building this startup. And you've done a great job of it so far, but what do you do to unwind? What does Ken Jarman do to recharge from business, and what are your hobbies? And who do you spend your non-business time with?
Yeah, I mean, you know, ever since the pandemic, I'm a little bit more of a homebody. I used to go out a little bit more, but man, that event really got me grounded at the house. But you know, play a lot of guitar. I'm a guitar nut. I like playing guitar, and that's actually my number one, you know, unwinding ritual. Yeah. Would be to go home and just bang on the box there.
Yeah.
get a lot of the emotion out that way.
Yep.
And unwind.
But and you're I do that. You're a big soccer fan too, aren't you?
But I'm a soccer nut too, man. When the World Cup was around, we were busy. That was probably the first time in almost ever any World Cup I can remember where I didn't just completely abandon work and watch games. I don't know how many full games I watched. I might have watched two full games, and normally I'd watch every single game regardless of what I was doing.
Yeah.
But
you didn't have a choice this year.
I didn't have that.
You didn't have that luxury.
But it was super enjoyable, actually. I thought I was going to have a hard time with it. I didn't have a hard time with it at all. When my buddies were telling me they were going to watch a game somewhere, I was like, I'm busy, man. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think this was a good problem to have actually this year. Cause you were not able to go and do what you like to do, but you were busy taking care of, you know, this opportunity that you have, that's just kind of blowing up in front of you here. So it was something you really couldn't neglect.
Yeah, man. But it was just as much fun. I mean,
yeah, absolutely.
And the games I did watch were were more memorable now.
Yeah, exactly.
Enjoy them
all more. Right, Ken, I got one more question for you. And you didn't know this one was coming, because I really just want your very, very genuine, you know, authentic response in this. But if you could go back into time, and you were able to give the pre-successful version of yourself one piece of advice, what do you think that would be?
Man.
One piece of advice to the pre-successful version of yourself.
Pre-successful. I mean,
if you had a DeLorean and you can just go back and tell yourself.
I mean, I think I've. I mean, I don't know if, you know. I mean, success to me is like pursuing, you know, some idealistic, you know, life. And I've considered myself successful most of the time. I'm trying to, but you're saying before.
Yeah.
Before I got.
And, you know, I mean, just being honest, I mean, you could say I wouldn't change a thing, man. I wouldn't, you know, I the way things went down, I'm very happy with it. But if you could go back, is there one thing that you might have told yourself, hey, Ken, heads up, man, here's one thing I think you should do differently or be aware of or what have you, you know, before just to give you that extra little edge or that extra, you know, relief of avoiding some sort of pain or problem or any of that.
Yeah. Yeah, I would just say that, you know, maybe, man, I really don't know, man.
Did I stump you?
You did, because I have this, you know, I think that things happen for a reason, and, you know, and, you know, even when maybe I'm not, or someone's not, you know, performing the way, you know, the perfect way or whatever, or, you know, it's all there. It's all happening for a reason. I mean, yeah. So I don't know if,
yeah.
I mean, I think I had to, I think people have to go through things, you know, to learn and to grow. And what advice would I give to myself?
Maybe you are one of those that would say, I wouldn't change anything. It just, you know, everything that I went through, it was to my betterment. And maybe if you would have warned yourself and you would have gone a different route, maybe you would have avoided the pain, but maybe you wouldn't have learned.
You know, right? You know what I would have done is I would have started a business sooner.
There you go.
And I think I would have, you know, yeah, I would have put myself out there sooner.
Yeah, you would have jumped out of the 9-to-5 earlier and started your own thing sooner.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, that is, you know, that's one thing that I can say with confidence is you can't be successful as an entrepreneur unless you go be an entrepreneur.
Yeah, that's right.
Can't be a successful business owner if you don't own your business. And I know that it takes a lot of time.
Yes.
It takes much more time and effort than I think anyone thinks it's going to take when they go in to any venture like that. And I have to continuously learn that lesson over and over again when we come out with a new product or we do something new. And I think it's the best thing on earth. You know, I relearn the lesson again. You know, it takes a lot more than we think to make it happen.
Absolutely. Ken, thank you very much for the information that you shared today, man. This was great learning a little bit more about you. This is not going to be our only episode. We'll definitely do this again sometime, and we'll talk a little bit more, and we may cover some different areas, but I think this is definitely just a starting point for this. How can we find out more about you and TurboPass and the TurboPass journey? What's the best way to keep in touch?
Yeah, I mean, our website is TurboPassReport.com. Or nostips.com, and you can if you think we have a mailing list on there, you can stay in touch that way, and if you have my contact information, we can share that maybe on this. Yeah. On this, but I'm happy.
Absolutely.
to help anyone out that's in our industry or otherwise.
That's fantastic. All right, my friend. Well, thank you again for being a guest with us here today. And again, thanks for everything you shared.
Thank you, brother.
All right. That does it for another episode of Business Innovators Radio. We will catch you here next time.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Business Innovators Radio. To hear all episodes featuring leading industry influencers and trendsetters, visit us online at businessinnovatorsradio.com today.